Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four exciting and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. Well, we welcome back Clement Freud, Wendy Richard and Paul Merton, who played the game a number of times, and someone who's never played the game before, we welcome Tony Slattery. But would you please welcome all four of them? This particular edition of Just a Minute comes from the beautiful and ancient Theatre Royal in the delightful and old city of Bury St Edmunds, and we have a wonderful Suffolk audience ready to enjoy it. And sitting beside me sits Anding, who keeps the score and also blows her whistle when the 60 seconds are up, and I'm going to ask our four players of the game to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we're going to begin the show with Clement Freud. Clement, would you talk on the subject of briefs, starting now?
My favourite poster came from the Southwold Theatre, which was then a cinema, and it said, forthcoming attractions, the Seventh Veil with briefs. In those days, briefs were short films, and there was really no performance in any cinematographical...
And Wendy Richard challenge. Wendy, what is
just,
your challenge?
Just a slight hesitation.
Yes, a stumble, which is a hesitation.
I don't really want to talk about briefs.
I'm sure you've got some good things to say about them, Wendy. And you have a point, of course. And you have 39 seconds left to tell us something about briefs, starting now.
Years ago, when we were doing Are You Being Served, this is long before I had my pet cockatiel, little Henry, whom you've heard many times mentioned on this programme before.
Paul Merton has challenged.
Deviation from the subject of briefs.
I was getting back round. I was just flicking them in on the local colour. That's all.
Well, we were talking about this cockatoo called Henry. Who I'd
it's a cockatiel.
Cockatiel. It'd be a cockatoo if I got my hands on it.
I think, Wendy, you hadn't really got onto the subject of briefs very quick enough, and I have to be fair within the rules of the game. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge, you have the subject, you have 29 seconds, briefs starting now.
My hobby is knitting briefs for cockatiels, because these birds need to be protected from our cold winter climate. They sometimes feel a draft around certain parts of their anatomy, which could be well protected by a good, solid pair of British briefs. The kind of briefs that helped us win the Second World War. When Hitler looked... Did somebody buzz?
Yes, Clement Freud's challenge.
Hesitation.
Oh, no.
No.
You stopped.
I'm riding the laughter, yeah. Surely. It's echoing around the building.
I mean, the people in Bury St Edmunds obviously do laugh far more vociferously than elsewhere, and I do think, to be fair to him, he was riding the laugh, so...
I'm sorry, Nicholas, riding the laugh?
Yes.
Have
you never ridden a laugh,
show.
Tony?
No.
You just ignore them, do you?
Well,
or don't you get any?
No, that's right. I model myself on Sale of the Century, so...
You don't look old enough.
You look old enough, don't you?
I think we should go back to playing Just a Minute. And you have 5 seconds to tell us more about briefs, starting now.
Briefs can come in many different sizes. There is large...
Whoever is speaking, when the whistle goes, it gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was, of course, Paul Merton, who naturally has a strong lead. Paul, would you take the next round? It's Codswallop. Will you talk on the subject of Codswallop, starting now?
A Codswallop is an expression meaning rubbish, I suppose. If I was to say I walked all the way from London today and I left at midday and I got here at 4, that would be regarded as Codswallop. Baron Munchausen was known for his tall tales. These, again, could be referred to as Codswallop. People would say to him, Baron, you talk a load of...
And... Clement has challenged.
Two barons.
Two barons, yes. Two barons. So repetition, a point to you, Clement. You take the subject. 40 seconds left. Codswallop starting now.
Very few people realize.
Paul Mercantile.
I was riding a laugh.
No, no, no.
Clement, I think you're actually riding a silence. Paul, you have the subject back, and you have 38 seconds. Another point, of course, Codswallop starting now.
In my old school, we used to play this game that consisted of hitting each other across the face with dead fish. It was called Codswallop. And what fun we had in that junior school as we would queue up to go into our geography lessons. Somebody would suddenly produce a haddock.
Oh, Clement Freud, you challenged. I didn't hear the buzzer go. But your light came on, yes.
It was repetition of school.
Yes, there was too much repetition. I was enjoying it so much, I wasn't even looking for it. But, Clement, yes, 26 seconds starting now.
It is a little-known fact that Codswallop is actually a single word. It is not hyphenated, there's no apostrophe. It's simply Codswallop, and in Scrabble, it counts about 48 if you get a double and a treble under the right letters. The meaning of the word is nonsense, rubbish.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of word.
Yes, repetition, and you have 7 seconds to talk on Codswallop starting now.
It's an old English word that is used by old English...
Ah! Tony Slattery has got in with his first challenge, and he's never played the game before, and he's got in with 3 seconds to go, so he's learning very fast. So, Tony, the subject is Codswallop. You have only 3 seconds, starting now.
Down the front of the Chippendales pouches, they put a...
So, Paul Merton with his Codswallop got quite a few points in that round. Tony was speaking as the whistle went, got the extra point. He's equal with Clement Freud in second place. And, Wendy, it's your turn to begin. Wendy Richard, will you tell us something about freeloaders? You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
There is nothing worse than a freeloader. There used to be one such person sometimes joined our company in our local, and one night, much the amusement of everyone else in that establishment, two of the chaps picked this person up and turned him upside down to shake the money out of his pockets to get him to buy a drink. Freeloaders have a habit of nipping off to the gents or the ladies because they come in either sex when it is their turn.
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, it's when she said they come in either sex. I mean, she didn't know how to follow that.
I thought I might have got a laugh there, so I was getting ready to ride.
When you
Paul, you challenged, and you have 30 seconds to tell us something about freeloaders starting now.
I've spent my life as a freeloader, and I'm proud of it. I haven't bought a drink since 1968. I was riding a laugh.
Wendy, you challenged.
Well, I thought it was a hesitation.
Yeah. Wendy... It's all right, you don't need to do my job for me, audience. It was hesitation. So 21 seconds for you to tell us more about freeloaders starting now.
Every licensed establishment has their freeloader. You see them standing back with their hands...
Tony Slattery, challenge.
Yes, there was a slight hesitation.
There was a
Loath as I am as the new boy, but I think it was. I want to jump in now and again.
I'll see you in the car park.
As you wish.
That's very decent.
You don't need to justify. I think you
should
made
we
an
form an orderly queue.
You see what happens to the new boys, don't you, Tony?
Yes.
14 seconds for you to tell us something about freeloaders. Tony Slattery, starting now.
Interestingly enough, the word freeloaders also refers to a type of light industrial farm machinery, which is used to levitate a bull on top of a cow just prior to mate.
Paul Merton challenged.
Deviation. How can you levitate a bull? You could lift it up. You could levitate it.
That's If I may spring to my own defence, that's a perfectly allowable synonym for lift, levitate. I don't think the challenge is valid, I have to say.
I don't know.
You should just have buzzed him for leviation.
No. And you've got another point, and you have 1 second, remarkably, to talk on the subject starting now. And someone's challenging.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
No, that's not allowed.
So Tony's got another point. I wouldn't worry, Tony's another point to you, and you have half a second on Freeloader starting now.
Bulls.
Well, it's the first time Tony Satter has played the game, and already the level of the standard of entertainment has already ascended. Tony got a lot of points in that round, including one for speaking as a whistle wind. He's now in second place, only 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. Charlie's Aunt. How apt. Because I'm sure everybody in Bury St Edmunds knows that Charlie's Aunt, that classic farce by Brandon Thomas, first started at this very Theatre Royal in Bury St Edmunds.
You were in it, weren't you?
Some people say it's the only reason I got the job, so they get a few laughs. Clement, the subject's Charlie's Aunt, 60 seconds, starting now.
It is an extraordinary coincidence that I should be asked to speak on the subject of Charlie's Aunt here at the Theatre Royal in Bury St Edmunds, where Charlie's Aunt was first produced.
Now, you can do Richard Chance.
No, I'm sorry, you're going to start listing again, aren't you? I can see it coming over you, Clement.
Wendy, there's no list involved.
You aren't, no, he is.
Which side does Clement
list
to?
I could see it coming on.
Are we allowed to be psychic in our challenges?
I think Wendy's still phased out by the offer she's made to Tony Slattery, actually. Wendy, we haven't had a list, and I don't know what will happen if we do, but that is not a viable challenge. So Clement gets another point, and he keeps the subject. 49 seconds, Charlie's Aunt, starting now.
In 1892, Charlie's Aunt was produced in this very theatre. And
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of theatre.
That's right, he did say the Theatre Royal before.
Yes.
That's right, yes. He knew it, he should have gone on, trying to bluff you out as he usually does. 39 seconds are left for you to tell us something about Charlie's Aunt, Paul, starting now.
Charlie's Aunt was a wonderful woman. She could levitate a bull on a cow like nobody's business. You show a bull and a cow and whoop that...
Clement Freud is challenged.
A repetition.
Yes. You have the subject back of Charlie's Aunt, Clement. Another point in 32 seconds, starting now.
I've always been a bit suspicious of playwrights who give characters names like Lord Fancourt of Babberley, because the whole idea is to get a laugh at the ludicrous nature of the nomenclature, when in fact fun ought to be in the script and not in the description of the dramatis persona. Charlie's Aunt I have seen in many places throughout the world, and a very good laugh it has been, much funnier than levitating
Paul.
A bull.
Paul, challenge before you got to the levitation.
Repetition of laugh, I'm afraid.
Yes, it was a good laugh, and you've had a good laugh, so two laughs, Clement. And Paul's got in with 4 seconds to go on Charlie's Aunt, starting now.
Edith was her name. She used to go down to the pub on a Friday night and entertain the...
Tony Slattery, it is your turn to begin. The subject is the crown jewels. Will you tell us something about those gems, starting now?
There was once a film called Lady Godiva in which it was postulated that fake crown jewels were in fact more lustrous, more shiny, and more generally wonderful than the crown jewels themselves. A lot of people agree with this. There was an occasion at the Royal... Oh, I'm just talking gibberish! I've challenged myself there. I'm terribly sorry.
Tony, I'm afraid before you challenge yourself, Wendy had already challenged you.
Yes.
And, Wendy, what
repetition.
Was your...
Repetition.
Yes, what of?
Just about everything.
You had 3 mores right at the beginning, and they let you go on it just to be kind.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you very much.
More this and more that.
That's very sweet of you. Mm. It'll be extra fun in the car park, Wendy, later on.
That's a very dirty laugh, isn't it?
It is.
What I want to know is, are we allowed to come and watch?
We were rather hoping you might make the coffee, Nicholas.
I might tell you, the last time I worked with Tony Slattery, he described me as a sexual hand grenade.
From the First World War. Yeah.
This programme has really gone down. We never have this trouble with Peter Jones.
No. You haven't made an offer like that to Peter Jones. Wendy, you have a correct challenge and you have 40 seconds.
I've forgotten what it is now.
I'm going to tell you. It's the crown jewels and you start now.
I remember as a child being taken to the Tower of London to see the crown jewels. Oh, I thought they were wonderful. They were so glistening and the gold was gleaming. They look unreal because they are so genuine, if you see what I mean.
Tony Slattery,
sorry, I'm sorry, this is a genuine query. Can one challenge on drivel? I don't know.
Well, we never challenged you when you were drivelling.
Yes, point taken.
I quite agree. Wendy, you made your point and you keep the subject. Another point to you. 21 seconds. Crown jewels starting now.
The memory of this marvellous sight of the crown jewels has stayed with me ever since. Even though I have paid visits back to the place where they are kept, the queue of people waiting to see the crown jewels is far too long and would take such an age to get round to see the crown jewels. There was once a film made...
So Wendy Richard was speaking then as the whistle went and got an extra point, but she's still in fourth place. Wendy, it's your turn to begin. The subject is records. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
We have a CD for those sort of records. I tried to put one of these records on the other day and couldn't work out why it wasn't playing. Apparently, I had it on upside down. You see, they're not like ordinary records. They only have the writing on one side of the record. And if you're like me on a Sunday afternoon, it's a very easy mistake to make. Apart from that, the other sort of records are people who do things or collect things and have more of such objects than anybody else. And this lot are going to let me go on for 60 seconds. They've done it to me before.
Paul has challenged you.
Repetition of things.
Don't do that, you nearly woke up Clement.
I think we've lost the first three rows out there.
Yes, a repetition of things. Yes, you have a correct challenge, Paul. 19 seconds to tell something about records starting now.
There are some people who dedicate their lives to getting into the Guinness Book of Records. They will push a pea up a mountain higher than anyone has ever done before, or they will eat a copious amount of baked beans for a far greater lot than anyone has ever previously...
Clement Freud, a challenge.
To Evers.
Evers, yes, it was going Evers. So, yes. You've got him with 2 seconds to go on records, Clement, starting now.
The great thing about Virgin Records is they have no holes in them.
We're all riding the laugh at the moment. Saved by the bell, I will whistle on this occasion. Clement, you've got an extra point for speaking as it went. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is garden gnomes. Will you tell us something about them, Clement, in just a minute, starting now?
I've never quite understood why garden gnomes should be such objects of mirth, like mothers-in-law and gorgonzola. But say garden gnomes and people laugh or titter.
Wendy Richard,
was
chance.
Was there 2 laughs?
No.
No.
I beg your pardon, Clement. No. I'm suitably humbled.
No,
sorry.
No. It was
I
a titter.
I don't think there are any laughs, actually.
He's riding for a fall. Right, 48 seconds for you, Clement, to keep going on garden gnomes, starting now.
It is the great credit of this government that garden centres are allowed to open on a Sunday. So any...
Tony Slattery,
a simple deviation from the truth. The idea of this government having any credit at all is just... monstrous.
What a difficult choice. I'm not going to make a political decision.
No, you want your knighthood, don't you? Yeah.
Right.
Well, you would say that.
43 seconds for you to continue on garden gnomes, starting now.
Garden gnomes.
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation, yes. There are 41 seconds left for garden gnomes with you, Paul, starting now.
I got my...
And Paul challenge.
That wasn't very quick either.
No. But it was definitely quicker than you.
In well, fact, still worth a point.
Let Pauline decide in the car park. Yeah.
40 seconds for you, Paul. Still with garden gnomes, starting now.
Just before...
And Clement Freud Chant.
Deviation.
Why?
He was very quick that time.
Give Clement a bonus point because we like the challenge, and a point also to Paul because he was interrupted, and 39 seconds to continue on garden gnomes, Paul, starting now.
I got married at the end of last year, and amongst the wedding presents that I received was 4 garden gnomes.
What Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Grammatical. Amongst the presents I received were, not was.
I think we've already established that I did metalwork.
A very difficult decision to make because we are allowed to be very colloquial when we speak in the show. So I think I give the benefit of the doubt to Paul and tell him to continue with 31 seconds on garden gnomes starting now.
George, Paul, John and Ringo are the names of these garden gnomes. They sit at the end of the garden looking up...
Tony Slattery,
that's probably incorrect. Garden twice, but that's all right.
If it's something on the card, you can repeat
I
again.
See. Forgive
and
me.
The word garden is part of garden gnomes.
You're not wrong there.
No. But I was explaining it very simply to you, because I know...
Thank you. Right, it's war.
Yes. Right.
He wasn't like this on Sailor the Sentry, was he? It was all, I'll have the kettle for £5, a toaster for £4.
You must be a lot older than you think, because that's going back to the open sale, which was dropped after 2 or 3 years.
It was, yes. Mm. I wonder why.
Thanks for that.
Come on, Nicholas. Get on with the game.
We don't charge any points for that.
Thank you.
Paul Merton has still got the garden gnomes and at the bottom of his garden, apparently, and 21 seconds starting now.
Some people do kidnap garden gnomes, if that is not too ungrammatical for you. They hijack these particular creatures out of people's gardens and...
Clement Freud challenge.
The third people.
No, yes, peoples.
People, and peoples.
You...
Third.
Peoples with a possessive apostrophe is different from people. Isn't it?
Clement, I agree with your challenge. You have 12 seconds.
I didn't understand it.
On garden
But then
gnomes.
That's my fault.
Yeah. Oh, you worked too hard at your metalwork. That was the problem. Garden gnomes with you, Clement, starting now.
Smith, Jones, Robertson, Cartwright and Williams are good names for garden gnomes. I think rather better than the Christian ones described by Paul Merton, who called them Ringo, George, Paul.
So Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle wind, got the extra point. He's still in second place. He's 3 points behind Paul Merton, still in the lead. Then comes Tony Slattery, a few points behind. And then a little behind him is Wendy Richard. And we're moving into the last round. Oh, you might be interested to know, in that last round, we had a record number of 10 challenges. It's never happened before, 10
That's
challenges.
Very interesting.
Can I just go and phone my wife about that?
Do you have some hot sweet tea? I feel faint.
No, I do like to throw out these little gems occasionally because I'm confident of the reaction that I will receive. Paul, the subject is matches. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
If you look at the ordinary matchbox, you'll see written on the side something like average contents 54. Sometimes it will...
Tony Slattery got in.
A bit of a hesitation.
Yeah, a bit of a definite hesitation.
Wandering down a huge area of repetition, I suddenly realised.
Yes. Tony, you have 52 seconds to tell us something about matches, starting now.
Sometimes the content can be 32 matches. Sometimes it can be... Oh, my God! That's dreadful! I do apologise for being...
I don't apologise.
I do apologise for being crap. But I'm getting the hang of it.
It's
so
a bit
bless
late.
You.
It's a bit late in your life to suddenly start apologising. That's right. Yes. Good point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul has his hair done at B&Q.
Clement, you have a.
At least I don't buy my shirts at Colourblind R Us.
Oh,
this from a man. This from a man who's wearing one of Wincy Willis's jogging outfits.
I now realised, listeners, why I made that slip of the tongue when I was talking earlier on about William Bligh of the Bounty, because I looked at Tony Slattery and he's wearing a Mountie's shirt, and of course that's why I said William Bligh of the Mountie, and I wish I hadn't bothered to mention that fact. Thing to anybody.
You mean to say there were 10 challenges in the last round?
10? Absolutely. Clement Freud, we're with you. 48 seconds to tell us something about matches starting now.
There's a dreadful hush in the close tonight. 10 to make and a match to win. A bumping pitch and a blinding night. An hour to play and the last man in. It is not for the sake of a ribboned coat. Now that was all about... Matches. It's written by Sir Henry Newbolt, a poet who, as far as I know, never came to Bury St. Edmunds, but was a pretty good chap and sometimes challenged 8 or 9 times in a round, perhaps 10 was too often. Matches are games played between 2 teams, cricket, football, rugby, even badminton, squash and tennis matches have occurred, and Suffolk is a wonderful county for such matches. In Warberswick, Dunwich, Wesselton, and there are...
Wendy Richard challenged...
He's listing, I told you!
No, that's true. No.
Let him get...
Wendy did challenge that about 20 minutes ago.
She was right, yes. You are psychic, Wendy, definitely. But I think what we'll do, there's 2 seconds to go, and I think it would be very nice for you to finish the show. Wendy, so we give you the last 2 seconds on matches, starting now.
I don't use matches. I have a cigarette lighter. I think matches can be dangerous.
We have no more time, as I warned you, to play just a minute, so let me give you the final scores. Wendy Richard, who's always a joy to have on the programme, finished in 4th place. He was a little way behind our first-time player of the game, Tony Slattery, who tried to bring the standard of play down and achieved it magnificently. And then came Clement Freud, who hasn't had an offer yet from Wendy Richard, and... She was only 1 point behind the one with the most points we adjudged to be the winner, and it is tonight, Paul Merton. Thank you. We hope the listeners at home have enjoyed listening to this particular edition of Just a Minute. It only means to thank our 4 delightful and talented panellists, and also Anne Ling, who sits beside me to keep the score, and also Ian Messiter, and of course our producer, Sarah Smith, and from me as well, Nicholas Parsons. Thank you for listening.